Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Predators head coach Andrew Brunette will join us at 7:30. Preds will be looking for win number two in a row coming up tomorrow against the Chicago Blackhawks. We'll get into that with Brunette coming up a little bit later this hour. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. Obviously, lots of things to get into with the Tennessee Titans, so we'll get into that with Charles coming up at 8 o'clock. John McClain was on with Chase and Big Joe yesterday, and obviously there's a ton to talk about right now with the Titans. McClain has been around this organization and around the National Football League in general for as long as anyone. And we've had John on our show. We always love his perspective. He's basically an encyclopedia of NFL knowledge, which for you kids used to be a place where you could find information. How many kids know what an encyclopedia is right now?
That's a good question.
Do your children know what an encyclopedia is?
I don't know. Probably like Jack, who was in college.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's a good question.
I bet most don't.
Those commercials used to be constant on Encyclopedia Britannica, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
A dictionary, a thesaurus. And then what else is there?
But the dictionary and thesaurus, at least, those are like online entities,
yeah,
and they're still
true.
Called that.
Right.
But there's, I mean, I guess the encyclopedia is Wikipedia. I mean,
pretty much.
I mean, I guess.
Keyser, did you ever use a phone book?
Yeah, I actually did. We got one every year put on our front porch, and it was the Yellow Pages.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. I got it every year.
That kind of shocks me.
I used to deliver those.
I used to call my friends on the landline, too, believe it or not.
Wow. How about that?
Yep,
wow.
And bike to people's houses.
Wow.
Good.
Keyser's an old
soul.
Right.
We're all boomers.
Yep. McClain was on yesterday, and, you know, there's a narrative out there. We've heard it some on our text line. We've heard it some on the YouTube chat, which, by the way, YouTube chat getting a little hostile right
people
now.
Are really screaming at each other on there.
They really are.
Calm down, folks.
That the Titans should have hired a more experienced general manager or a more proven, accomplished general manager to run the football team. Than what the current setup is with Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker. And McClain kind of addressed that yesterday on Chasing Big Joe. It's a long answer. It's worth playing in its entirety. Here's what John McClain had to say.
I have no idea. Everybody's been wondering about that. It's like the GMs get the blame for hiring the coaches. And so it's hard for them. Jeff Diamond, who was executive of the year when he was with the Vikings, then he came to the Titans, and Jeff Fisher led them to the Super Bowl. But when Jeff got fired, he never got another chance. And that happens across the league. Charlie Cashley, who was here, helped Washington, played a role in three Super Bowl winning teams, came here as the first GM, hired Gary Kubiak, drafted D'Amico Ryan's greatest draft they'd had until the one last year. He's never got another chance. The NFL is littered with GMs, and a lot of them are on TV now or on some website where they're using their expertise. And they like new guys. They like fresh blood. They like getting them from winning organizations. You think they're complaining in Detroit because they have a first-time GM? Washington has a first-time GM who worked with Rand Carthon in San Francisco. So I remember they had one here. Everybody said, oh, you can't have a first-year head coach in Gary Kubiak and a first-year general manager in Rex Smith, and they won the team's first two division titles and playoff games. And so you can't turn it around in a short period of time. It just doesn't happen. And now they got lucky because they were in a position to get Jaden Daniels. Chicago did a great job. Chicago, Detroit, Washington, three teams that are winning, all have first-time GMs. And I remember when Jason Light left the Patriots to go to the Buccaneers. You know, he's won a Super Bowl. He's been there for years. He worked with John Robinson. What I'm surprised is that John Robinson, to me, would have to go back into a front office and work like in personnel or assistant GM and be with a winning team and then help him get another head coaching job. And by the way, I'm looking over teams that definitely need quarterbacks. Right now, we'd say the Titans, definitely Cleveland. Yeah. They're not going to cut Deshaun Watson after this season because their dead cap would be double more than double what Russell Wilson's 85 was. I think it'd be 172. So they keep him around next year. They could pay him not to play, which they did here in 2021, or he could be a backup, or he could get another shot to start. But they've got to get a rookie to get ready to develop. The Raiders, desperate for a quarterback. And you think the Titans are going to be. We don't know about the Panthers and the Giants. You know, they could move on because highly drafted quarterbacks that neither the coach or the general manager were there when they were drafted. And when I watch Pittsburgh beat the Jets, I'm thinking, okay, aren't the Jets going to need to be looking for a new quarterback next year, even if Aaron Rodgers comes back? And then I thought Pittsburgh, Russell Wilson had a good, not great game.
Yep.
They benched Justin Fields. So you're supposed to make moves based on winning a Super Bowl. Will the Steelers think in the offseason they can win a Super Bowl with Russell Wilson or Justin Fields? Maybe they will. They could be in the market. But the top three teams for sure right now would be Cleveland, Las Vegas, and Tennessee.
That was John McClain on Chasing Big Joe yesterday. And it is interesting. You know, he brings up, you look around the league right now. You know, I remember when John Robinson got fired. And we talked about, well, John Robinson probably did enough just based on his winning percentage, which, by the way, for those of you who don't know, is 61%. As Jared has pointed out, approximately 250 times in the last 2 weeks. It's 61%, but he did. I mean, he drafted Derrick Henry. They won some division titles. They got to the AFC title game. Like, I remember when the day after he got fired, we talked about, you know, other than the shock of firing him when they did, you know, he'd probably get another general manager job at some point. Well, that has not happened yet. A lot of these general managers that get fired or discarded are just kind of out there right now, and teams are going with new guys. There's a lot of first-time general managers around the league right now. What do you make of that process and how we've gotten to that point in the NFL?
Yeah, I don't have a great answer on that other than, yeah, I mean, I think teams want, like John said there, they want the young guy who's been in the organization that has been winning, that has the formula. So again, Rand Carthon here, Adam Peters in Washington, those are the 2 and 3 to John Lynch. And, you know, yes, you can say, you know, Kyle ultimately has final say, but, you know, they have a front office, they do the job, they find the players, they've been highly successful. So that's the model. And Brad Holmes is a great example, of course, guys with the Rams who got the Lions job, and it's been incredible how well he's drafted. So that's just the model. Now, I will say on John Robinson, one thing to keep in mind on John Robinson is, you know, when Amy Adams Strong decided to just fire him in the middle of the season, a few months after giving him the huge extension, there's a whole bunch of money that he is getting paid.
Yeah.
And he's going to get paid that money.
Absolutely.
And so there's no offsetting of that money, and so that is part of it. But I mean, I think McClain's right. Like, if he wants to be a GM again, he probably has to kind of go back in and work his way up. I mean, which is kind of weird. It doesn't work that way in coaching. Why doesn't it work that way in coaching? If you have success as a coach, you're probably going to get a second and third chance.
Yeah.
So it's strange. You know, Jared and I got into a little argument in his latest defeat on Jared versus Joe, the usual. It was good judging, Adam Vingan. His thing now, Jared, of course, you know, fire everybody, of course, you know, although, you know, he argued that he only wants to fire people when he's right. But he wants to fire all these guys. And so he wants to bring back an experience. He's on the, we need an experienced GM train, right? Okay. So I'm like, who? Because the thing is, it's like, Michael Lombardi, right? He, like John McClain said, he's on this podcast.
Yeah, he's doing podcast,
ripping everybody, and, you know, doing Vrabel's bidding or whatever he's doing. But
there is some of
he
that.
Seems to love Vrabel and Belichick a lot. So his name was Rick Spielman. Now, for people who don't know, Rick Spielman got fired, I guess, a couple of years ago by the Vikings. Had a successful run. Rick Spielman did some things like, I mean, he drafted Justin Jefferson. I guess that's a no brainer, but still. It's a good pick. Dalvin Cook, Danielle Hunter, you know, it's Harrison Smith's a good pick.
Yep.
Also, let's see, first round picks from Rick Spielman, Jeff Gladney, Garrett Bradbury, Mike Hughes, Laquan Treadwell.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if Jared was there when Rick Spielman was there making those picks?
Yeah. Yes, I can.
So, I mean, again, I'm not saying that Rick Spielman couldn't do a good job, but everyone who ends up getting – like, we are acting like these guys over here have committed the crimes of the century, or some people are. I mean, you can find smudges on any GM who does this job for any amount of time.
Sure.
And ultimately, it is. It is absolutely about your record. I mean, ultimately, do you put together winning teams? And these guys better do it fast. Well, I mean, we can all agree on that.
I'm going to say something that for some Titans fans is controversial. I don't know why it is, because I do agree with Jared from this standpoint. The record was what it was. Like, I think John Robinson was a good general manager in this league. He just made some horrendous decisions that was capped off, excuse me, by the A.J. Brown trade at the end of his tenure. And, GMs at the end of their tenure, usually that's why you lose your job, right? It's because you've made bad draft selections and the roster starts to fall apart. It's a little bit different from coaching from that standpoint. So, like, I think John Robinson, if he got another GM job, could do a good job. I just don't know. Is he gonna get one? Like, is he interested in that? It is very weird the way that kind of works in the NFL.
It is. Yeah. It's just you're basically, you got your shot, and you better. And if you look through the league, at the general managers in the league, I mean, look, there's a lot of GMs who, you know, have been around a long time. And some of them, you know, like Chris Ballard, he's holding on, and it's like, man, Chris Ballard just keeps that job. And but, you know, like Roseman, there's some long-term, like, so a lot of these guys hold it. You're able to hold it through some ups and downs. You have to have some good ups, though. There aren't a ton of fast GM firings.
Not a ton.
You know?
Yeah.
I think coaches get fired faster. They also have a chance to be rehired GMs, and that's how you should do it. Again, unless you own a team, let's say a hypothetical owner out there owns a team and losing, and it's disappointing, and it's not going well, and everything you see is telling you that the people don't know what they're doing, and if you own a team, gosh, I hope you talk to people. I sure hope you have some sort of involvement in your very lucrative business. Well, then, you know, that's information that has to matter. But firing GMs after a year or two is usually not a good idea. And I judge GMs. Yes, you can screw up trades and free agency. You can be good or bad there. Drafts, that's what it's about. John Robinson was a great GM, and then he was a bad GM. I mean, if you just judge him by the draft, he was great, and then he was bad.
Yeah. Well, it's,
overall, he was good.
Overall, he was good. But toward the end, it started to go the other way. Like, we've talked about this a thousand times. You start missing on some of your first-round picks, and then you trade A.J. Brown. I mean, that's how it goes in the league. Now,
and pick Treylon Burks.
But I think that –
for a third straight terrible first-round pick.
Exactly. So that you do that long enough, you're going to find yourself out of a job in the National Football League. But it is interesting that maybe that's his last shot. And this is not just a John Robinson-specific thing. The larger point is a lot of teams around the league go for the first-time unproven guy, and you don't see a lot of the retread general manager in today's
almost
NFL.
Almost none.
615-737-1025. We'll take some of your reaction to that. Already got some on the text line. We appreciate their participation as always. More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Attention builders, remodelers, and homeowners, Pella Windows and Doors invites you to their showroom grand opening tomorrow from 3 to 7 at 256 East Main Street in Hendersonville. Discover premium windows and doors, enjoy food and drinks, and see how Pella can transform your home. Chase McCabe and Willie Donick will be broadcasting live on location there, and there will also be some raffle prizes given away, including Preds tickets, Arctic coolers, and more. So make sure you check that out. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Oh, and the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got Jacob from Murfreesboro on the text line. Says, I know there were other factors and things kind of culminated to a point, But I do wonder if they never trade AJ, or are both J-Rob and Vrabel still here? This is from Jacob from Murfreesboro.
Possibly.
Yeah, maybe. Could be.
Certainly. Could be possible.
That was no doubt a damaging move. And again, like the more time that goes past from that point, Joe, certainly the Cincinnati game, but it does kind of feel like the A.J. Brown trade was like the line of demarcation for this franchise in some ways. Like, it's been pretty steadily downhill ever since then.
Right. And it's like the on the field, it was the loss of the Bengals, the three picks, and then off the field, it was A.J. Well, think about that 2022 team. You're talking about a team that was 7-3. Now, it's funny because the 7-3 came on the night that Treylon Burks, like the one time in his career, he looked like he might be a playmaker in the NFL at Green Bay, right?
Yeah.
But that team absolutely should have won the division. What if that team has A.J. Brown?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're clearly the class of the AFC South. So you've won a fourth straight division.
Yeah.
And who knows where it goes from there? You know, then you still probably at some point you're getting into the quarterback thing. But yeah, I think you could definitely make the case. Texter says, you can't say he was a great GM and horrendous in the same sentence. It's either one or the other. Listen to me again. He was a good GM. Early, I'm not – this is objectively true. He had great drafts. I mean, like, 2016 and 2019 drafts are two of the greatest drafts in Titans history.
Yeah.
And the 2020, 21, and 22 drafts –
are the worst.
Atrocious.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, but that's what happened. And then the overall picture is 61%, like you said, and good. He's a good GM.
Yeah, I got one text that says, how is John Robinson a good GM? His best first round picks were Simmons and Jack Conklin, who are nothing special. He lit three straight draft classes on fire, traded A.J. Brown for Treylon Burks, which it's not what he traded, but okay. Got a ton of draft capital for the number one pick and basically got Derrick Henry out of it and nothing else. First off, that's not true of that at all.
So again, you're just spinning because you hate him. You left out a whole bunch of good stuff.
Yeah. Can we actually like be honest about a conversation at some point? Or are we just going to have our heads shoved so far up our rear ends that we can't live in reality as to what actually happened here? I you know, it's hard to take people like you seriously when you come in with texts like that. If you're just going to totally ignore reality at what happened, you know what he also did, which people I guess just forget about too. He also got Ryan Tannehill, who's the second greatest quarterback in the history of the franchise, or certainly since they moved to Tennessee, went to an AFC title game, won division titles. I want you to think about how far away this team right now is from that. And is he to blame for some of that? Yes. The A.J. Brown move is going to go down as one of the worst moves in the history of this franchise, all right? We talked about that at the time. And it ended very badly with John Robinson. And you know what? The trajectory it was on, he probably deserved to be fired at some point. The timing of which he got fired is not good. But
there was
idea,
a conversation to be had.
I think there are some Titans fans that legitimately believe that he is like the worst GM in the history of the team.
Yeah.
And it's just unbelievable to me that where they're at right now and where the amount of success that they had from 2016 to 2022, like if you can't see that, then you just don't want to see it. Like I don't know what else to say.
Now, it's funny because this is actually like the subject of my rant today, so it's perfect. That was a great lead-in to that because it is. It's like, and it goes to the bigger picture of like you got to take a stand. It's like Jared screaming at me yesterday. You and I, we talking around the situation. So we're again, and some of his minions get into this too. Yeah, just take a stand. Well, I don't think they should fire these guys. I'm sorry. That's my opinion. So I don't agree that every time something goes bad, someone must be fired. So if you don't say immediately, you suck, you're out of here, or again, you're great, it's one or the other. If everything isn't black and white, then you're wishy-washy. No, sometimes things are gray. In fact, most things are gray. And John Robinson's a great example. John Robinson, like you said, like the picture, it's all there for us to see, and it was one thing, and then it went to another thing.
Yeah.
And if you want to talk about them all about the good things, you're spinning it.
And if you want to talk about all the bad things, you're spinning it the other way.
Can we talk about all of it? It's okay. We can talk about the whole thing. Things can be nuanced and complicated.
Well, I'll ask you this question. You brought this up with quarterback play, and I think it's a great question, and people scoffed at you at the time because you said, when's the next time the Tennessee Titans will have quarterback play as good as Ryan Tannehill? Well, they are light years away from peak Ryan Tannehill right now at the quarterback position. light years. Forget Mahomes and forget the elite guys. They're a long way away from Tannehill right now. I'll ask you this. When's the next time they're going to have roster building the way that they had in the early part of John Robinson? Because right now, they're light years away from that, too.
Right. Yeah, well, no doubt. I mean, it's all about, to me, it's all about drafting. I mean, you can't be terrible in free agency. Right now, the free agency looks bad. Drafting looks better, but it has to be, you got to stack that. And you have to, I mean, like in free agency, again, Robinson also, the trade for DeMarco Murray, really good. Signing Ben Jones, really good. So it wasn't just all drafting either. He did a lot of good things to fortify that team.
No doubt
early.
About it. No doubt about it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Predators head coach Andrew Brunette. Preds back in action tomorrow, taking on the Chicago Blackhawks. They'll go for win number 2 in a row. We'll talk about that with Andrew Brunette next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Thursday morning. Preds get the W the other night. They're back in action tomorrow, taking on the Chicago Blackhawks. And we go now to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Predators head coach, Andrew Brunette. Andrew, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. Doing good.
Awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. We talked after the game the other night, Andrew, just about, you know, the communication, the execution, just the progress made on the ice against the Bruins, specifically with the communication. What did you notice about that part of the game that was different, and what do you think the tangible effect of that was in terms of your performance the other night?
Well, I think that's something you kind of forget about when you're going through something where you're not getting the success you want, and you get frustrated and you get internal. And, you know, if you look through a group, I felt we're a little internal. You know, we're all squeezing it. We're all feeling, you know, we have more to give. We're frustrated. Frustration talked about such a dangerous emotion. And the only way you get out of it is helping each other. And I think communication is one of the biggest, you know, values that we have here. And we just weren't doing that. And if you look at our group, usually that's at least from standing on the bench and being with the guys, we've always spoke. We've always talked. We've always encouraged. We've always tried to stay positive. And we weren't really doing that. And I think really you could see it pretty evident last game that there was a lot of positive encouragement. There was a lot of talk. It doesn't always have to be positive either, but there's communication where we're at in the ice. And I think, you know, it's taken, you know, this team a little bit to get comfortable. And the only way to get comfortable is being uncomfortable. And then sometimes that's talking and communicating when things aren't going well. Sometimes that's working a little harder. And I thought we did both last game.
Did anyone in particular sort of make that happen, Andrew?
Well, I think we got a lot of leaders. I think, you know, I think it was to a man, to everybody. I think everybody, you know, Lowe's and Carr and you know, obviously Factor, he was, you know, obviously leads the way a lot of different nights and Yo's. So I think everybody was helping pull a little bit, just trying to pull us together. And just with that, try not let that frustration, you know, kind of get the best of us. And again, I thought as a group, we all took it upon ourselves to try to be a little bit more active that way.
So, Andrew, we saw a video that the Preds put out on social media of Zach LaRue getting the player of the game from the team in the locker room after there. I'm just curious, from your perspective, the way that he plays and the style of the game that he plays, how much do you think that kind of helped pull your group into the fight the other night?
Well, I think he brought, you know, an intensity and a relentlessness that maybe we were lacking. I thought he dragged, you know, other guys around him into the fight. I thought he was on pucks, and he has that. He's a really good stick and a really good feel for the game that allows him to get the pucks. And I thought that really helped a little bit of that identity of Big Mac's line. They were kind of searching a little bit the first 5 games, so I thought he pushed that to kind of look a little bit like we had it going last year. And he dragged not just them. I thought everybody into the fight with his enthusiasm and energy.
UC Soros starts slow every year. And I don't know if you've come up with is there any sort of reason for that, like his style, or is it just a matter of, you know, some people take a little bit to get going. But is it fair to say that last game he stepped up his game, and do you feel like there's like a certain point in a season when you see him take it up a notch and then he kind of stays there?
Yeah, you hope so. You know, obviously only been around him a year and last year, you know, coming in the year. I think if you look at the hockey at the start of the year, it's pretty sloppy throughout the league, not just, you know, you saw an 8-7 game the other day. And I think for goaltenders, it's hard to kind of get in that rhythm and that flow. And the breakdowns are usually bigger this time of year than they are during as we kind of tighten up as the season goes on. But I wish, I had a, you know, get my finger on exactly what it is. You know, I think nobody's more disappointing. He was, you know, in some of these lucky bounces that went in, and he took it upon himself to win us a hockey game the other night.
Andrew, the power play, you guys get another one the other night. You had a goal go in, you know, 5 seconds after a double minor expired too. But just overall, what are you seeing on the power play right now? And specifically with that first unit, do you feel like you guys are pretty close to kind of busting out here and breaking through?
Yeah, I feel we've been really dangerous on the power play. I know we haven't got the results, but I mean, if you look at all the underlying numbers and by my eye too, I feel we're really dangerous. Things aren't quite going our way there. You know, we've had a couple of them that we want that you kind of wash through frustration. But I think if you look at the body of the work here through six games, we've created enough to be, I think we're number one or two in expected goals for on the power play. So we're doing some things that are really good. They're not going in. We're squeezing a little bit. And the ones that I didn't like the cadence of the rhythm. I thought we were forcing things just out of pure frustration. But we've been able to kind of get ourselves back. I mean, we scored the other night. You know, the Novak group's created too. So I think both groups have had has looked, you know, really good, minus maybe one or two. And that's usually a pretty good sign. And when you're creating and you're getting those opportunities and the skill that we have, you know they're going to go in. I'd be worried like I was at different stretches last year where we weren't creating. We didn't feel dangerous from the bench. This year I feel kind of a little bit the opposite.
On that power play, obviously it's a huge addition to, you know, to add Stamkos. Is there a balance there, Andrew, in terms of you want to utilize that shot, but also you want to make sure that you're keeping it balanced? And has that been any part of it early in the season for you guys?
Yeah, you probably nailed it right on. I think obviously when you add a piece in the score like Stamkos, I think even for our whole group, you know, we're looking to get him the puck. You know, and I think at times, and I wouldn't say all the time, but I think at times we're maybe forcing it a little bit, which is a sign of a good team. Obviously, you're trying to get him involved and trying to get him feeling part of the group. And it's that balance at the same time. We still got to make the right play when the right play is there. And, you know, I still think we've done a pretty good job of that, but I think that is a little bit of the focus that we've kind of maybe missed on plays that we're trying to set him up a little bit too much. But in saying that, we've had some great looks.
You know, the players were talking after the game the other night, Andrew, just about the progress made in the defensive zone. And I know you said after the game, and you're right as a coach. I mean, you're always looking for better execution. But what specifically are you starting to see in the defensive zone that you think's really improving here?
Well, I think we've been, you know, obviously, I think in the defensive zone we've been pretty good all year. I think where we took a step last game, especially, I really thought that we, you know, our stick battles and our puck on sticks was at another level. And that's what's kind of made us so effective last year, where we're close on you quick, we get good sticks, and then we get physical, then we dislodge you from the puck, and we go the other way real fast. So that looked a little bit more like us last game. And you know, and really the season as a whole, I thought we've defended. Where we struggle a little bit is off the rush. And I think given those odd man rushes at different times, at the wrong times, is kind of put us in a little bit disadvantaged defensively. But I think in our defensive zone, we've been pretty structured and detailed. Of course, as a coach, I said the other night, you always want to be a little bit better. You're always pushing to be better. And kind of like I was saying, you know, watching games every night, you know, I think it's just a little loose. And the teams that get tighter faster are the teams that kind of push a little bit here early.
So is there a collective exhale to some extent here just to get a win and to stop that conversation? I know coaches, you don't want exhaling, but maybe gripping the sticks not quite as tightly, things like that. Like, do you feel like now there can be a little bit of evening out just from getting that one win?
I hope so. I think if you look at the body of work, it easy could have been, you know, 3-2, 2-2-1. You know, I thought we played some games that we probably deserved to at least get something out of. So as you look at it that way, but at the same point, you're still, you know, 0-5. And I think as we get into that 0-5, I think, especially I would say since, you know, three games at home, especially playing at home, you're trying so hard to get yourself out of it that you're missing a little bit of the process, and you just, the wins just don't happen. You have to put the work in. You have to go through the process of growing together, being uncomfortable together. And we kind of at times wanted to skip that process. We wanted to be a little bit comfortable. We wanted it a little bit easier. And this league's hard. And when things aren't going well, it makes it even extra hard to kind of stick with it. So for me, as a coach, you're looking for them to stay in the process and find a little bit of joy in the process instead of the frustration in the process. And I think we have a great group of guys. I think we've worked really hard. We just got to bottle up a little bit what we had let go in last game. And I thought forced us to be a little uncomfortable. We talked to communication. I thought also talked to the relentless work ethic we had last game for 60 minutes. I think we showed signs of, you know, 20-minute games and 25 minutes at that consistent work ethic and that consistent relentlessness. But I thought we brought it for 60. And when you kind of get uncomfortable for 60, you hope you grow with it and you build off of it. And, you know, we go into practice today and, you know, you want to maybe squeeze the sticks a little less, but enjoy the work that we're putting in here to get better.
Well, Andrew, looking forward to the game coming up tomorrow. We will talk to you soon here on the program. Appreciate so much for your time, and we'll see you later today.
Okay, great. Good talking to you guys.
Absolutely. Andrew Burnett, Predators head coach, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. I do have to give a quick shout out, Joe, to our number one fan on Robbie and Rex Road, Sarah Barnowski. Big fan of the Robbie and Rex Road program.
Nice.
And we appreciate Sarah very much.
Yeah, Sarah. Sarah listens to us more than Nick.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt.
Well, I want to give a shout out to you because my question to Brunette there about Stamkos, so he was like, that's pretty good. Well, that's actually your point that you made this week. So I just stole your point to
you're
ask
welcome.
A question.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe that'll make you feel better for the apparently partial judging I had in the competition a couple weeks ago.
I don't totally forgive you, but we're getting there.
That's good.
That helps. Yep.
615-737-1025. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode coming up next. We'll have Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports with us coming up at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rexrode, 1025, 1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I say let Rand cook some sausage biscuits in the morning, early morning. Let us have some breaking news on our show. Thank you, Rand. Right now, this is when a locker room really needs good culture.
Yeah.
As we like to say, because, you know.
It is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning here on the program.
I was starting to say, I was saying more there, and then you just cut me off, Nick.
I'm trying to speak.
I was saying like this, blah, 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 blah,
sparingly, because I just like listening to Kokomo in the background.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's been a while since Michelle used to love to play the Kokomo for me, because I made it clear I hate this song.
I love this song.
Every fiber,
so Nick, fire it up whenever you want to.
Kokomo and Don't Worry, Be Happy by Bobby McFerrin.
Now that one, I'm with you.
Absolute. Like the work, you're going to high school in the morning and you have to listen to these songs. Oh, absolute nightmare. I'm going to carry on. I'm going to take this to the Titans front office thing, but a couple things happened this week that I think are great examples of, like, you don't have to attach yourself to one side or the other of something. I mean, this is like it's as much a permarant as there is, right, in my life. And I think for the most part you agree with me, Robbie, but you're welcome to disagree on any of this.
Okay.
The multiple things being true thing that people struggle with so much. You know, again, it's like John Robinson wasn't good, he sucked, or John Robinson was so good. Well, both things are like, you know, let's go through it all. It's complicated. So a couple of things. First of all, the Deshaun Watson thing, I was initially gonna see if Nick could play the Jameis Winston impassioned defense of Deshaun Watson. You know, this man puts his life on the line, but we don't have time for that. I mean, I'm with it. Jameis Winston is very entertaining.
Yes,
this whole thing with Deshaun Watson and the way some people have acted about it, like he died or something. He had an Achilles injury, and he's a creep. I mean, like, objectively, okay. Take away criminal aspects of it, he has done creepy, gross stuff with women. And by the way, Jameis Winston has settled a civil sexual assault case himself. So miss me with all that stuff, but also if your fans who are cheering and like celebrating and chanting when a dude's on the field, miss me with that too.
Yeah,
miss me with all of it. And I guarantee you some of those fans were the people who had like fake massage tables and stuff and dudes with like, it's just disgusting, okay? So miss me with a whole bunch of it. It's not cool to boo him like that. Also, let's not pretend like he's some hero here.
Yeah, I mean, agree.
Okay, there's one. How about Bronny and LeBron this week? I've seen some people act like, oh, this is an incredible moment. I wouldn't go there. But then I've also seen people so angry about it.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a cool moment for a guy and his kid. If you're that organization, you make that guy happy. I don't know. You know, Bronny James might at some point be like a rotational player in the league. Yeah, he would have been a good college basketball player this year. That's what he should be. But hey, I mean, he's in the NBA with his dad. Fine. If that's what you want to do, it sounds like a great life.
Sure.
But like, I just, both extremes of this. Like, this is not the Griffies. The Griffies happened, and you're talking about great players and son greater than dad.
Yeah.
And that happened. This was manufactured. That's fine. They got him in for 3 minutes. They went together. They got pictures. They had a great moment together. The Lakers won, which is good. The Lakers lost with Bronny playing 3 minutes. You know, then people are going to
begin ripped
about it. Yeah, like both with all this. I mean, I'm in the middle on some of these things. It's okay to be in the middle. And I look at the Titans front office, and I just think that anyone who thinks they know that these guys are idiots is full of crap. Like, you don't know that. Are things going poorly now? Sure. Does it have to get turned around? Yeah, like, I think next year, if you have another bad team on the field, then I think that, yeah, you can't reasonably expect in this league to have forever to show signs of progress. But again, like every single move they've made is not terrible. Right now, more than not, look bad on the free agency front. This draft class, we talked about all these things. Like we had like this idea, and this does come from Jared versus USA, that you have to know right what is it right now? What is it? Are they this or are they this? I don't know. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm largely with you there. And, yeah, I understand. I also understand the frustration of Titans fans, right?
Absolutely.
And this is – for if you're a Titans fan, you're not viewing it as – well, some of you may be. But for the most part, you're not viewing it as, well, don't worry. Like, it's only Carthon and Brinker's second year, and it's only Callahan's first year. It's like – well, now this is the third year in a row that I've had to put up with watching this crap. So I get that. Like, right. I'm very sympathetic to Titans fans who are just totally over this. And we've talked about the myriad of reasons for that. And it ain't just the losing. It's the being abysmal to watch while you're losing. Like, there's a whole lot that goes into that. But, yeah, like, as we sit here today on October the 24th, am I 100% convinced that Brian Callahan's a bad coach? No. Now, does that mean that I think he's done a good job so far? No, it doesn't. Like, I'm leaving the door open that as they continue to churn the roster, as he continues to get a little bit more experience, both with play calling and with being a head coach here, that things ultimately get better. And, you know, right now I still think the biggest problem with this team is the fact that the quarterback's not good. Now, we can get into the selection, all that, sure, and who to blame for that, and how much of it's on the
these
owner,
guys
and
get
how much
the blame
of it's on them. And
these guys get the blame.
All that That's stuff. Fine. But, yes, I think there's nothing wrong with the take that you've just thrown out there. It's a very difficult concept for some people to grasp.
Well, I'm not even – yeah, and that's the thing. I'm not even – the Callahan thing is like, you know, I mean, it's so early. But even with the front office, and I agree that different timelines not ideal, but – It is still early. It is. I'm sorry. Like, it's early, and it's not all bad. And I think the biggest concern with Titans fans is what we keep coming back to. You go to the very top, you know? And if it turns out that this front office is just incompetent and they can't figure this out and they can't find answers, well, the owner has done some serious damage and now must again try to.
Well, then you get to go find some new ones. That'll be fun too.
Well, right. But the idea that right now she should be resolved, again, based on what we see on the outside, based on all these results, the idea that, oh, of course. I mean, Jared actually said it would be courageous of her yesterday to fire them. Courageous. He would admire her courage for doing it. And it's like,
that's a take.
I just, like, if that's how you approach doing these things, you will never have success.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us coming up next. We got a whole lot to talk about with Charles Robinson as it relates to the Tennessee Titans. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.